Today's fourth message will be on the topic of relating to others by serving one another. Serve one another. And I've chosen the text. It is in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 to 11. Before we begin, let us commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for another day that we can gather together even to hear Thy word. May Thou be with Thy people, be with the teens here, even as they listen to Thy word, even on serving one another. And pray, Lord, even for prepared hearts, Lord, for hearts of flesh to listen to Thy word and to do Thy will. We commit this time into Thy loving hands. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Now, yesterday we dealt with the topic of pray for one another. Then we remember we learned that prayer is an important aspect of every believer's life. It is communion with God, it is commanded by God. And we actually looked into the passage in James chapter 5, verse 13 to 18. And there we learned two important aspects of prayer. When to pray, when is the occasion to pray. And then after that we went to learn about how to pray. First, when to pray. Remember that the Apostle James gave two instances. First, pray for yourself, and then after that, to pray for others. Pray for yourself. He taught us that we ought to pray whether we are in trouble or whether we are in our lives are going very smooth. In other words, to pray whether we are in adversity, having afflictions, and also in prosperity. Reason is also this, that when we are actually in these two extremes, we may actually sin against God. When you are in adversity, you are having a lot of afflictions, sometimes you may complain, murmur against God and against other people. And when you are in prosperity, all things are going well with you, you tend to be complacent, you forget about God, and you can also fall into sin. Then after that, James brought us into two examples of praying for others. So he said that there was one occasion where a brother is sick, and then you ought to pray for him. Another instance when two brothers were in conflict with each other, they had to pray for one another. So when you pray for others, remember that it begins to pray for yourself. You have to first cultivate a good prayer habit. You need to be disciplined in prayer. After that, you can start praying for others, beginning with your immediate family, people who are closest to you, like your parents, your siblings. Then after that, it extends outwards to your friends, to fellow believers in church, and even further outwards to unbelievers, those who do not know Christ, to pray for their salvation. So after that, we learn also about how to pray. And remember the words that we learned, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we learn that for our prayers to be effective, we need to pray in faith. We need to pray fervently. That means be serious about our prayer. And the qualification also is the person must be righteous before God. You and I, we are believers. We are already righteous before God because of the imputed righteousness of Christ upon us. So God will hear our prayers. But we also learn from the example of Elijah at the end, towards the end of the message, and how his prayer was so efficacious. I mean, God, every time he prayed, God heard his prayers. And in the two verses, we saw that when he prayed for drought upon the land, God answered his prayers. And then later, when he prayed for rain, then rain came. So why was his prayer so efficacious? It means that it was answered. We also studied the pattern of his prayer. And we learned that we need to pray in faith. We need to pray according to God's will. And then we need to pray for God's glory. And finally, we need to pray patiently waiting. So today we will look at the topic of serve one another. Serving one another from this text of 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, all of us as believers, we have experienced the bountiful blessings of God's grace. Remember that it is God's grace that has saved us. God's grace also guides us throughout our life on this earth. And God's grace also gives us a hope and future when we come to the end of life's journey. And when we are saved, the moment we are saved, we are actually ready to go to heaven. But God wants us to remain on this earth here to be a witness, to serve him as well as to serve others. Now, in the text that you have just read, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 to 11, the verses before, the Apostle Peter was telling all the believers that they need to live their lives with the knowledge that Christ is going to come soon. Christ will be returning soon. Then, what he did was he exhorted them that they need to forsake their old life of sin, that means turn away from sin. And then he gave them a few other instructions that they need to live life soberly. They need to watch unto prayer, that means they need to be prayerful always. And finally, in verse 9, he says that be hospitable to one another. And following that, in verse 10 to 11, he will talk about serving one another. And here we will learn three things about serving one another. The first thing we learn is the enablement to serve. Enablement means who gives us the ability to serve and how are we given the ability to serve. That means who enables us to serve and how are we enabled to serve. And for this, we need to look at the first part of verse 10. First part of verse 10 says, as every man which has received a gift. Now, what is this gift? This gift is actually translated from the word charisma. And it means grace gift or a spiritual gift. Now, the same word, this word charisma, is also used in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, which also talk about this spiritual gifts. Together with Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, give us a whole long list of these spiritual gifts. They may include gift of teaching, gift of encouragement, gift of giving, also the gift of leading, hospitality, administration, and so on. So there's a whole long list, and it is in no wise exhaustive. There are even more than that. But one thing we also need to note is that among these gifts that are inside, there are also these sign gifts. Gifts of healing, gifts of miracle, gifts of tongue speaking. You must know that all these gifts have ceased. During the early church, when the New Testament was completed, written, all these gifts no longer exist. You may notice that some charismatic churches, they still claim these gifts, but the Bible says that they have all ceased, they are no more. So, we know that these are actually grace gifts. Now, understand by the word grace is unmerited favor from God. Right? So this means that these gifts are given to us by the grace of God, by his unmerited favor. So it is not by the merit of man, it is not because we actually deserve it. God just gives these gifts to us. And another thing is that in 1 Corinthians 12, 4, the source of these gifts, the Bible tells us that it is from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us these gifts. And if you think about the word gift, it is something given to you. Can you actually ask for it? No, we cannot ask for these spiritual gifts. It is simply given to us by God. God decides what sort of gift to give us, and also the number of gifts that we are supposed to have. So this enablement for us to serve one another is actually through the gifts given. So you see, God not only gives us the privilege to serve him after we are saved, he also equips us with these gifts to serve him. So you think about it, aren't we thankful that he not only gives us the privilege, he also equips us for service. Now you notice here also that verse 10 says, as every man has received the gift. As every man means every single believer has received a gift. So each one of us have received at least one gift. So a person cannot say that I do not have any gift, so I cannot serve God, I cannot serve other people. We cannot absolve ourselves from serving God, because the Bible here says very clearly that all of us have at least one gift. For those who are called, the thing is that if we are given gifts, it's our duty to find out our calling, what to serve, and also to discover what gifts we have. For example, those who are in the teaching ministry, they teach the Bible. They are given the gift of teaching. Those who have the gift of hospitality, they may be very good in welcoming people, in making them feel very comfortable. Those who are in encouragement, who are in, have the gift of encouragement, they are very good at encouraging people. God has given these gifts for them to serve other people. Now, you may also ask the question, what are talents then? Are they same as spiritual gifts? No, they are not the same as spiritual gifts. Now, talents are actually abilities given by God to all men, whether you are a believer or unbeliever. And this is for the betterment of human society. For example, a person may have the talent of building. So he can build very nice buildings. He can build fantastic buildings, high-tech buildings, and today, like you know, energy-efficient buildings. So that is talent. But spiritual gifts are different. Spiritual gifts are given by God, by the Holy Spirit. Each person has at least one of these gifts, and they are given for the purpose of serving others, for edifying others. And also they are given for the glory of God. So that is the difference between spiritual gift and talent. For example, you may find a person, he can play the piano very well, right? And maybe his technique is good. He has already passed grade 8. But then that does not mean that he has any, he has a spiritual gift in music. The person who has spiritual gift in music, which God gives to him, when he actually plays the piano, say during worship, he will actually draw people's attention towards God, not to himself. When he plays, it is as if he is invisible there. So I hope you understand what is the difference between gifts as well as talents. Now, therefore, it is our duty to find out what our gift is. We need to discover our gifts. We need to make effort to find out our gifts. When we find out gifts, then we will be able to develop them and use them to serve the Lord. So how do you find out your spiritual gift? One way is for you to participate, serve the Lord, be active in serving. Then you can discover your spiritual gift. For example, not many of you may actually serve in the teams form. Okay, there's only a limited number there. But you can also serve in various other capacities. In this camp, for example, some of you can serve as greeters, sometimes kitchen help, sometimes even clean up crew. And if you are old enough in teens, there is also the primary when we actually have our VBS. We invite some of you to come and serve with us. So you need to take every opportunity to serve. When someone approaches you and asks you, so-and-so approach you and asks you, would you like to serve? Okay, don't look left and look right, and then see whether another person will actually volunteer. Go for, take the opportunity to serve. Then it will help you discover whether you have a certain gift. And this also can be confirmed by those who are more spiritually mature, by your own teens, teachers. Sometimes your parents can also help you discover whether you have a certain spiritual gift. So our duty actually is to find our spiritual gift. Like I said, it can be confirmed by other people whether you have a certain gift or not. I myself, I'm very sure I don't have the gift of singing. Why? I auditioned in the church choir once. I wanted to sing, but I failed the audition, so I cannot join the choir. So I went into other areas to serve in other areas. So you need, all need to discover your spiritual gifts. But know from this first point that enablement to serve, okay, actually comes from God. He gives you the privilege to serve. Not only that, He equips you for service by giving you gifts in order that you can actually serve others. So, if you think about this, we ought to thank God for that. Then we have this second thing we need to learn is that, now if you have all these gifts that are given you, how do you use these gifts to serve? The way for us to serve one another. The rest of verse 10 says, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Then verse 11 says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it to the ability which God gave us. So here, the first thing is that even so, minister the same one to another. Now you look at this word minister here. It is translated from the word which we call deacon. Like Deacon Milton, deacon, yeah. And what does this word deacon actually mean? Literally, it means waiter. You know, the people who, when you go to a restaurant, they have those waiters, they actually serve you at the table. So the emphasis here is that it's about service, it's about serving. Okay, that is the emphasis that is given here. So, and also note here that it is, even so, minister the same one to another. Now, here is a command for us to serve one another. In other words, these gifts that are given to us, they're not for ourselves, for our own glory, but actually they are to be used to serve others. Then you notice how do we actually serve others? You notice that in the second part it says, as stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now this word manifold grace may seem like a very big word to you. Manifold means literally, what it means is that it is rich in color and variety. But here, the reference here, the context is manifold grace of God means the many gifts that God has given us. I have described some of these gifts to you earlier. You have this gift of encouragement, gift of giving, and so on and so forth. So that there are actually many gifts given by God. So for all of us, we need to discover, take time to find out what your gift or gifts which God has actually given to you. So how are we to be good stewards? Verse 10 further says, we are to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we are to be good stewards of these gifts that God has given to us. Now, this word steward, in those days, it refers to a person who is like a house steward. House steward is given by the master to manage things of him. He's entrusted with certain resources by the master and he has to manage these resources. Let me give you an example. In the Bible, in the book of Genesis, you remember Joseph. Joseph was a house steward to Potiphar. Potiphar placed him over the household. That means he was in charge of the household of Potiphar. And he had to look after all the resources, the finances, manage the servants, whatever resources God has given him. And he is supposed to manage these resources responsibly, wisely, because he is accountable to Potiphar what he has actually done for this. So in the same way, when we are said that, when the Bible tells us we are to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God, it means God has given us all these resources, these gifts. We are to manage this well, and we are to use it for His glory, and we are one day held accountable to the Lord for these gifts. So remember that there is this manifold gifts of God, many gifts given, and we are supposed to be good stewards. How are we to be good stewards? The Apostle Peter further says here in verse 11. So if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability God gave him. So remember that there are many, many gifts, diverse gifts. But here, the Apostle Peter divides these gifts into two types. First, the gift of speaking. And this gift is given to those who are called into the teaching, preaching ministry. These people will include our pastor, preachers, even our Sunday school teachers, your teens teachers, anyone who is called to preach and teach the word of God. Then the other type of gift he talked about is the gift of ministering. So after you have this gift of speaking, you have the gift of ministering. Now this gift of ministering refers to all the other gifts besides teaching. The ones that I mentioned, like encouragement, giving, leadership, administration, and so on. So what are we to do regarding these gifts? In verse 11, he gives specifically, he tells those who are teachers, those who are preachers of God's word, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Oracles of God means the word of God itself, the scriptures. So notice he said, you must speak. If you are called into teaching, or preaching, you must speak as the oracles of God. This means according to what the Bible says. That means you must know how to interpret the Bible very well. Okay? And this calls for you to study the Word of God. Yeah. You cannot add, you cannot subtract, you cannot change the Word of God. So all teachers of God's Word, from pastors to Sunday school teachers, all of us are required to make effort to study the Word of God. Take time, set aside time for the study of God's Word, attend, listen to sermons, attend even Bible college, and also various contact groups. So this will help us to gain more and more of God's knowledge of His Word, and will also help us to understand and also interpret the Word of God correctly. This will help us then to teach the Word of God accurately, for example, to you all. So that is the requirement that God wants us, and there is no shortcut to this. Then to those who are ministering, the Bible says, let him do it. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God gave us. So this means that when you do other kinds of tasks with the other gifts besides teaching, you are to do it according to the ability God has given you. God gives each person a certain ability, some more, some less. We are to do to the best that we are able to. God doesn't expect us to do beyond what the ability that He has given us. All He wants is our faithfulness. So for whatever task that God lays upon you, you have to do it to the best that you can. And whatever time God gives to you, you also spend this time wisely. Remember that at the end of the day, it is not about your abilities, but more about your faithfulness. And that is what God judges us upon. So remember that in this case, for those who are ministering, okay, we minister to the best that we can. So the exercise of these gifts, when you actually use these gifts, remember that we ought to be good stewards and we follow God's instructions, and we also need to do to the best of our ability, to the best that we can. So the way for us in order to serve using these gifts is firstly to be good stewards. That means to fully utilize the gifts God has actually given you. And then you also need to do the best that you can using these gifts that God has given you. So how can you serve others with your gifts for yourselves? First, you need to have an attitude of servanthood. Okay? When you actually think, are there any opportunities for you to serve others? There are many. If you look around, there will always be people who need help. Even, for example, at home, if you serve your parents, sometimes we have a tendency to take our parents for granted. They are just there always, and they're actually to serve us, to provide for all our needs. But have you ever thought of asking them whether they need help in any way? Simple things even at home. For example, setting the table. Do you all set the table? Do you all help to wash the dishes? Do you all help to clean out the garbage? Do you help even to tidy your own room? Then, with regards to your siblings, maybe some of your siblings are not so good with their homework in their studies. Are you willing to actually help them out? Same thing also in school. Do you actually serve others? Serve your fellow classmates? Serve your teachers? Also in church, do you serve one another, help in various ways that you are able to? So the last thing that we need to learn about serving one another is very important. And why are we doing all this? Why are we actually serving one another? What is the purpose of serving one another? The last part of verse 11 tells us that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise, dominion forever and ever. Amen. So besides, when you actually serve, you actually help another person to edify another person, to build up another person, when you actually serve him. The other reason, which is the ultimate reason, the end reason, is actually to glorify God. You remember that the chief end of man actually is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So always remember that we serve one another. The purpose actually is to glorify God. And it is not to glorify ourselves. Now in 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul himself used the illustration of the human body to describe the church, the members, with its diverse gifts. I'm sure you all know biology, right? You all know, you have studied about the human body. Every part of the human body is important. Without eyes, you cannot see. Without ears, you cannot hear. Without feet, you also cannot walk. I myself experienced this some years back. I actually tripped on a staircase nearby, and then I sprained my foot. I thought it wasn't very serious. Until then, I tried to walk. Then I had to be on MC several days at home, spend the day, and I was totally immobile, just with a sprained foot. So you start to imagine how important each part of the body is. And sometimes we also have a tendency to take our health for granted. But here, when he actually addresses this, he means that everyone has different gifts. Each of you have different gifts. But we need each other. We need to serve. We are given different gifts so that we can serve each other with these different gifts. We all need one another. The Apostle Paul in that passage also said very clearly that the eye cannot tell, the hand has no need of you. Neither the head tell the feet, I don't have any need of you. Because all parts are actually important. Now you also must realize that these gifts that are given to you, some of these gifts are given for you to serve actually in the background role. You need to serve in the background role, not the things you do are not so noticed by others. But there may be also some others who are given gifts that actually bring them into the limelight. For example, in this camp, I give you an example. Maybe some of you will be called to arrange chairs in the room for your meeting. Okay? So if you're arranging chairs, hey, does anyone ever take notice of what you're doing? But the person who is, say, called to stand up there to chair the meeting, he is more noticeable, he is in the limelight. But the Lord says, all these gifts, individual gifts, each one of them is important. So we must not despise the gift that God has given us. Neither are we to envy others over the gifts that God actually has given them. Always remember that when we actually serve using these gifts, it is not for our own self-glory. It is for God's glory. So remember also that the fact that we can serve, it is actually God who has actually given us this privilege that we can serve Him. And aside from that, also He equipped us with these gifts to serve Him. So our greatest delight, okay, should be when God is glorified, even through our service with one another. Remember always that we seek to glorify God, not to glorify self. So that is the purpose of serving. So remember, our purpose of serving is actually not only to build up one another in the faith, to build up the body of Christ, but the ultimate aim is for us to glorify God. Now the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is a supreme example for us to follow in serving one another. If you turn with me to Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Okay. And this is what the Bible says. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Himself. So He did not come here to be ministered, to be served by others, but He came to serve all of us, to serve mankind. So, in fact, in John chapter 15, the Lord Jesus Himself explained and showed this example of serving one another through His disciples. And what did He do then? He washed His disciples' feet. And He did this out of His humility, out of His love for them. So here, washing of feet in those days is actually a slave's task. It is assigned to the lowliest of servants. But the Lord Jesus especially took upon himself to wash the disciples' feet. What was the reason for this? To show to the disciples, if you want to be godly leaders, you must be servants first. Now, you also see throughout the Gospels, okay, how the Lord Jesus Christ served other people. You remember that he washed the disciples' feet. He not only did that, he also fed thousands. He healed those who were ill, and he taught the masses. So, the routine of the Lord Jesus Christ, every day he would rise up very early in the morning to pray. Then he would spend his entire day ministering to all the people. So he would go to different parts of the land in Israel and minister, and all this until dusk. Okay, that means right until the end of the day. The Lord Jesus Christ did not care about the time, neither was he concerned about what people thought about him. He just liked to lead by serving, and he loved to serve. So you see, here it's not just about serving one another, having a list. The Lord Jesus Christ, whenever there was any need to serve, he would set aside time to serve and to help the person. So no task actually was too menial for him. Neither did the Lord Jesus turn away anyone who sought help, thinking that they are unworthy. So if you think about this, how the Lord Jesus Christ himself came and then to serve us, to die for our sins, maybe we remind us that we actually need to serve one another. To serve one another is not about having just a list every day, okay, you tick, and what you've done, but it actually must come from your heart. And this is you must actually come from your agape love. Yeah? Love that is sacrificial. That means you will go all the way out to help the other person. You have a genuine concern for the other person. So just as the Lord Jesus has shown us an example, okay, he came to serve us and also to be a ransom for our sins, will we not also be grateful, follow him, and also serve one another? So as we look and as we end this message for today, let us remember, okay, the few things that we actually have learned. Then we are actually, the Lord actually does not need us to serve him or to serve others, but the Lord has given us this privilege to do so. And not only has he given us this privilege where we can actually serve others, he also equipped us for service, and he has given us various gifts for us to serve. So as now that you're in the teens, you have time, you can actually take time to discover what your gift is, what your spiritual gift is, the gift that God has given you, or the gifts that God has given you, and use it to serve others. And remember also the purpose of serving one another. It is not for our own self-glory. It is for the purpose to build up one another in the faith, to build up the body of Christ. And finally, of course, it is for the purpose for God's glory. So as we reflect upon this, may it encourage us for us to find our gift and then to use it to serve one another. So let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we indeed thank thee, Lord, that thou hast saved us. Not only that, thou hast counted us worthy even to serve thee, to serve others. And thou hast given us this privilege. Thou hast even equipped us with spiritual gifts. And even for the teens here, if they do not know their spiritual gift, may thou lead and guide them, help them to find what their spiritual gift is, to discover it, and also to nurture, to develop it, and to use it to serve others for thy glory. We thank thee even for the privilege of service, and indeed for thy goodness, thy grace, thy mercies towards us each day. This we pray, giving praise and thanks in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.